Thank you, Brother Hall. Maybe you preachers have been where I am today. You sit in a meeting and you enjoy the blessings of hearing the songs, and you enjoy the fellowship, and you enjoy the preaching and God working on your heart, and you're wanting to get there, and you're wanting to be a part, and you're wanting to preach, and then when you're called, sometimes you think maybe somebody else should have done it. But anyway, I praise the Lord for being here. What a blessing this church has come to be to us. And we just thank the Lord for each one of you. I want to thank all of you for praying for my wife in this past year. And God has been good to us. And she, most of you already know, I think, but she had to go through cancer surgery last year. And actually, she went through three surgeries and ended up about 27 days in the hospital in December and January, well, last year and this year. But she's doing well. As far as we know, there's no cancer. And she'll be going back for a scan shortly, and I'd appreciate your prayers for that. But I'm going to tell you, even in the midst of all of that, it's just amazing.
Amen.
It's just amazing what God can do. Even in the midst, when you don't know, I'll tell you, when me and Farrell and Barry, my other son, they'd flown out to be with us in the first surgery. And when that doctor came out, after he told us it would be about a six-hour surgery, something along those lines, and he came out about an hour in or hour and a half or something like that, and said, "We need to talk." And he took us in a room, and he told us that the cancer was further than he thought, and it was outside, and there was no use to complete the surgery, and they'd just sew her back up and get her ready for chemo. You don't know what that done in my heart, but at the same time, I cannot explain how that God gave me a peace in my heart and a blessing. And then the next day comes running in and said we was wrong. The test was wrong. And he told us it'd be 5 days or so before the pathology report would come back. He came running in the next morning and said the pathologist just called and said there is no cancer outside the bladder.
Amen.
Said we was wrong. And I praise the Lord for just His goodness. And I feel like that God has given me back what I was expecting Him to take. But even when I was expecting Him to take it, I'm not bragging about this. It was only by the grace of God. But I didn't know how that I'd make it. I didn't even know how I'd continue my ministry. She does so many things. But yet at the same time, I never lost sight of the fact that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
I believed it with all of my heart.
Amen.
And I praise Him for that. Well, I sure enjoyed I've enjoyed all of the services. I've enjoyed everything, and I've been so blessed by coming. And such a wonderful song and such an uplifting, our songs, and such an uplifting, and God blessing our heart. And I guess this is why I'm hesitant, but God has, my direction's a different direction, and so I don't know anything to do. The book of Jude. I believe we're living in a time when as Brother Hall mentioned last night when he was talking about some things, and he was talking about some things that about how that would be a great falling away, and we'd see the man of sin revealed, and we were seeing some of the forerunning of that. And if you talk to preachers across the country, as I know many of you do, and men like Brother Ballou, when he goes to different places, and he goes back to places, and you see all of these things, and I've talked to two preachers here that have, just one that I spoke to this morning, And when I ask a question, he said, I wish you hadn't have asked. And I understand exactly where he's coming from. And he wasn't saying it in a wrong spirit or any way like that. But there are so many things happening today that it's shocking sometimes when we, even though we read it in the Word of God and we know it's happening, we know it's coming, we know it's upon us, and we know we're going to be caught out.
Sure.
But I don't know how much we're going to have to go through. I do not believe we'll go through one moment. Don't misunderstand. I do not believe we'll go through one moment of the tribulation. But I don't believe that we're going to be going along like here and all of a sudden tribulation is going to be here. I believe that things are going to happen. And that's why, I believe that's why some of the things were said during our last presidential election.
Yeah.
Things like he's like the Messiah.
Yeah.
And things like, I believe it's preparing people to hear things to where that when it is said about the real one, I mean, I'm talking about the Antichrist, that it'll be accepted. And in the book of Jude, he writes, and I'm different than what some people believe on this. I don't believe Jude started out to write about one thing and changed his mind. I believe that he started to write out about the common salvation, and in doing so, he wanted to remind us that there was an enemy that we had to contend with, and there were some things that we had to face as we walked this way of the common salvation. And as he did so, he tells us about some things that that were going to happen. And I'm going to read you one verse, and then I'll mention some others and probably read them in here, but I do would appreciate your prayers very much. Stand with me, if you will, please, as I look at the Word of God. Verse 11. Woe unto them, for they are gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the Ur of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as I bow before you this morning, dear God, I come to give you thanks for your great blessings. I thank you, dear Lord, for saving me as a 17-year-old young man. I thank you, Lord, for keeping me down through these years. And I thank you, Lord, for letting me be just a little part of your work to thy glory. I ask you, dear God, to use me now again. Lord, this has been such a great meeting. How my heart fears lest there would, that I would miss you and there would be, that I would hinder in some way. And oh God, I want your power upon me. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll open our hearts and our ears to thy truth. And Lord, through this sobering thought, that it'll stir our hearts to serve you and live with you and walk with you. And as Brother Ballou has said these last two nights, pursue after you. You're our only hope, but I bless your name that you're the great blessed hope. And my Father, that you're all that we need. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The way of Cain, he speaks about here in verse 11. He said, they've gone in the way of Cain. They have ran greedily after the Ur of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. As we look at these three things, first of all, I want to ask you the question, just to get our minds to where that we're centered in on the Word of God. Since I just read that one verse, we've got to find out who they are. They have ran. He didn't say you have ran, I have ran, we have ran. He said they have ran after these. They have went after these. And if you look back, and I'm just going to mention a couple of verses here, we find back in verse 8, he talks again about some people, and he said these. Likewise, these, and he describes them as filthy dreamers. He said they defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. So again, we've got the pronoun, and we're trying to find out who he's talking about. Now, if you go all the way back to verse 4, I think you can find it. For there are certain men. crept in unawares. I heard one preacher say it's a bunch of creeps. A bunch of creeps got in the church. They have crept in unawares. He said, who were before ordained of God to this condemnation. And this is how he describes them. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 8 refers back to verse 4. He goes on to call them filthy dreamers, and he says that they do three things. They despise dominion, they defile the flesh, they despise dominion, and they speak evil of dignities. In looking at these, then as I drop down to verse 11, and he talks about these three ways that they're going after, I want to bring you a message today upon the thought of it's inroads toward apostasy. Apostasy simply meaning a falling away. In these last days, there will be a great falling away. He said that some other things would not happen unless there came a great falling away. And as I speak to people across the country, as I talk to churches and different ones, as I talk to new churches, older churches, and different things like this, there's one thing that I'm seeing. I'm seeing that there is a falling away. I've heard difference of people in the last little while, pastors that have told me that have been at places for over 20 years, and all of a sudden, people who have been with him all of this time are falling away. Now, so since you do not know me, and it's the first time that many of you have ever heard me preach, and you don't know much about me, let me say today that I want you to be sure to understand when I'm talking about falling away, I do not believe that God's children will fall away into reprobation. I am not talking about Christians falling away and losing their salvation. But I'm telling you today, there's a falling away. I preached in a church sometime, well, it's been a year or so ago, one of my supporting churches. And after I preached, they had just hired a new youth man. And after I preached, the youth man got up and told about taking the youth to a concert, and it was a contemporary Christian music concert. And he was talking about all of these things. And I thought, man, if he'd have said that before I preached, what would I have done? But now, listen, Farrell just told me he knows the church. By the way, if I could say something, when I say Farrell, he's my pastor, and I don't want anybody to think that I have disrespect for him, but he's my son as well. You understand that? And so it's kind of hard sometimes. Should I say Brother Shepherd, Brother Farrell, or whatever? He said one time maybe he ought to say Brother Daddy to me. But anyway, please don't misunderstand in respect. There is no disrespect. I have highest regards and respect for him. I praise God for it. But listen, he told me the other day that now that this pastor has went another step, and I'll just leave it there. That's the thing, and so you're seeing all kinds of things that happen that's going on, and you wonder sometimes what to do. Sometimes I think about all a missionary can do, and he might just need to put blinders on and realize why he's there, and just do what he's there for, and go on. He's not the pastor to start with. And so I do try to keep that much in mind as I go. But listen, as we look at this today, I want to get in it as quickly as I can and get out of the way so somebody else can come and preach. The way of Cain. I have something for each one of these ways that I want to deal with about a falling away. As we look at this, first of all, I believe that there is a rejection or a turning away much in our churches today from the grace of God. The way of Cain, it looks to me like that what he did was he turned away from the grace of God. Each one of these men that it mentions, you'll find a story about them in the Word of God. You'll find in Genesis chapter 4 the story of Cain. And of course, you'll find in verse 2, the Bible says that he was a tiller of the ground. You'll find out that the Bible says that he brought of the fruit of the ground to the Lord as a sacrifice, though God refused it. You'll find out in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, that ground from which he brought the fruit from was cursed by sin. And so, actually, as you look at this, you'll find out in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, and I know I'm just mentioning these things, but they are in the Bible. You will find out that Cain, what he brought was an offering of his own works. And so what he did was he tried to bypass the blood-bought way. He tried to bypass the grace of God. And so he rejected the grace of God. That's the way of Cain. When we look at this, we find today that false teachers, which bring about apostasy, false teachers, those that teach, and the Bible says, talks about silly women being led away and all of these different things, and it talks about unstable men believing these truths. As we look at these things, we find, if you look through the Scriptures, you'll find out that I'm right, that these false teachers, these people that he's talking about, these men that have crept in, these people that are filthy dreamers, by the way, what is a dream? A dream is something that we imagine, is it not? You wake up and find it's real. You'll laugh at this. I have some weird dreams. I was dreaming last night. By the way, if a dream is an imagination, a dreamer is a imaginer. It's somebody who is thinking something that's not real. Cain thought he had the dream that he'd get there his own way. But there's people today, they've got some false ideas, some thoughts, but it don't work that way. I was dreaming last night, and I know you'll think I'm crazy when I tell you this, but I was dreaming about being in a place, and all of a sudden I was in another place, and I thought, how did I get here from there? And then all of a sudden I started to turn and go back, and I was on a familiar place, but when I went this way, I was going the wrong way. And I thought, I know what it is, I'm dreaming. And when I thought that, I woke up, and I was. A friend of mine back in North Carolina has a son who is a preacher, and that son was preaching. I heard this story on him, and he was preaching, and somebody said, he said, I just want to tell you about my dad. Said, my dad's been preaching so long. Said, he said that he dreams about preaching. And said, the other morning about 11 o'clock, he woke up, and he was. Some of you get that in a moment. But a dreamer. He talked about filthy dreamers. He said these are those that, you know, they imagine different things. And I am amazed. Even though I've been in the ministry 35 years, I am amazed sometimes at some of the things that people do. But these false teachers, these false dreamers, they defile the flesh and despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. They, if you read this, you'll find out these are characteristics of false teachers that lead people into apostasy. And so the same thing that is true of Cain is true of those false teachers. For an example, 2 Peter chapter 2 says that false teachers deny the Lord God who bought them. That 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, teaches us, of course, that believers are bought with a price, and it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to 1 Peter chapter 1. But may I say today that false teachers, the Bible says, turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is lustful desire. Jude 4 tells us that. And so we find today that although the grace of God bringeth salvation, teaching us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live righteously and soberly and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, false teachers teach people and lead people and deny the grace of God. Now, follow me close. There are two aspects of the grace of God. There is salvation grace, and there is living grace, if you want to call it as such. Titus 2, verses 11 through 13, tells us that the same grace that brings salvation teaches us how to live. Right. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us, here's the negative, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that's laying aside some things, right? That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, positively, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then number three, it tells us that we are to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God. The grace of God does all three of these things. The same grace that as we sing in Amazing Grace, the same grace, the Bible says that taught my heart to fear, the same grace relieved my fears, the same grace that taught me that I must be born again, that the grace of God that came to me, not because I was good, not because I deserved it, but just by the grace of God, spoke to my soul, convicted my heart of sin. That same grace relieved my heart of fear, and that same grace has step by step taught me and is teaching me, continues to teach me, that I am to live for God. And there are still some things that I can say no to and should say no to, and there are still some things that I should say yes to and step up to the bat, to the glory of God. So the way of Cain, if you will, is the way of the rejection of God's grace. And that leads to apostasy. That is a part of that great falling away. People, if we could only let them have a little part, a little works in their salvation, they'd feel a lot better, wouldn't they? But it's hard to get people to junk everything and come to Christ and throw themselves upon His mercy and trust Him and nothing else, just by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you, if I get to heaven, it'll be by the grace of God. And if you get to heaven, it'll be by the grace of God too. Listen, my friends, today, Cain went the way of apostasy. He left the salvation of God when he could have had it, and he refused it, and as a result, died, I assume, without God. There is the grace of God in salvation, but there is also the grace of God in godly living. Baptists or any others are on the road to apostasy when they leave the pure gospel of the grace of God, the pure gospel of Christ, and turn to another gospel. By the way, Paul did speak of another gospel. He said it's not another gospel, but he was talking about they would call it such. And there's many gospels today. There's a social gospel. There's a bloodless gospel. There's a no repentance gospel. There's a gospel, if you will, of works. There's a gospel of legalism. There's a gospel of emotionalism. All kinds of gospels that you want to add. But I'll tell you today, it's only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that'll bring salvation to mankind. And when we begin to either turn away or to try to mix some of the others, we are on our road to apostasy. Now, in the next thing that I want you to see is, not only was there the way of Cain. And by the way, if I could just put this together and say again, I believe the way of Cain adds up to the bloodless way. I believe it adds up to a rejection of the grace of God. And then the way and doctrine of Balaam. In the Scripture, I found out that he spoke of the way of Balaam and he found of the doctrine of Balaam. You'll find the story of Balaam in Numbers 22 through 25. Balaam was hired by Balak, the king of the Moabites, to curse the children of Israel in Numbers 22:6. Of course, Balaam offered him great honor to do his bidding. Balaam, I can imagine that Balak was thinking, boy, I can just enlarge my crowd. Brother Calvert, just lower the standard a little bit. You can enlarge your crowd. That's what Balaam. He said it, the Bible says that he offered him honor. He offered him prestige. He offered him all of this if he would just curse the children of Israel. It looks to me like that Balak was willing to do so. And I do stand utterly amazed that what man will do to get a little bit of prestige. It scares me sometimes, and it causes me to stay on my knees and pray and say, God, don't let me yield to something to get some honor, to get some prestige, to get a step up on man's totem pole. I want to tell you today that that Balak was a hireling. Listen, I don't believe that he was what we would say a saved man. I don't believe that he was God's man at all. I know he's called a prophet and all of this, but there's a lot today that could be called prophets, but they're just going to the wrong source to get their answers. And as we look at this, the Bible speaks of the way of Balaam, and it speaks of his doctrine. The way of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 32, the Bible says was a perverse way. Also in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible tells us that there are those that love the wages of righteousness. Again, the same truths or the same traits, if you will, that you find in the way of Cain, in the way of Balaam, and you find in the way of Korah, all three of these are found in the false prophets, the false teachers, in those that go the apostate way. You find the same teachings in each one of them. It says that he ran greedily after reward. And there are those that would go greedily after reward. Balaam was apparently willing to curse the children of God for financial purposes. And I want to tell you today that all of these pressures come upon even God's men sometimes, and Satan can use these things to work in the lives of God's people. There's a great temptation among the work of God concerning some of these things. Now listen. If you go on and read, then you'll find in Revelation chapter 2, you'll find out that he begins to speak of Balaam, but he speaks of the doctrine of Balaam. In the doctrine of Balaam, he says this, that he brought a stumbling block, that Balak used what Balaam taught to bring a stumbling block to the children of Israel. Now listen to this. This is amazing when you put it together. God refused to allow Balaam to curse his people. God said, you can only say what I say. But Balaam still taught Balak. He said, there's a way you can get to the children of Israel. And Revelation chapter 2 lets us know this. But what they did, he told them that there was a way to do it. And verse 14 of chapter 2, he says that he brought them to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Now listen, when Balaam was trying to curse the children of Israel and was not allowed to do so, he got close enough anyway to Balak in trying to, I guess, get what he could get after him. Remember, it said he ran greedily after that for reward. His purpose was for the reward that he would get out of it. He told the king what he could do. And the king of Moab got involved with the children of Israel and enticed them or seduced them to eat of things offered to idols. And when they did, then they lay with the children, with the women of Moab and committed fornication. As they did so, if you went back to Numbers 25, and I'm just skimming these, I would read these, but time's sake, I'm trying to bypass that. In Numbers 25, verses 1 through 3, you read some things, you'll notice three things about the children of Israel, what they lost when they joined themselves to the god, little g, of Moab, who was Baal Peor. As they went, you read that the Bible says, first of all, in verse 1, they abode at Shittim. As they abode there, what they did, they lost their pilgrimage. Now listen, I'm trying to tell this story to show you how that apostasy creeps in to even good Baptist churches, and how that it creeps in to individual lives, and how it creeps in to Baptist schools, and the well gets corrupted, and we keep going back, and the well's polluted, and we wonder what's happening. Yeah. My friends, it's the doctrines that get corrupted and such as that. And so they lost their pilgrimage. They stopped. Their opportunity was to head for the land of Canaan. God's command was that they was to go, but they settled down. They stopped for a while. They lost their pilgrimage. May I say to you today, Brother Ballou spoke last night about walking, or someone talked about walking and talked about you never took two steps at a time. The Christian walk, the Christian race, it's an idea of going forward. We cannot stop in this race or this walk without getting behind. We cannot. We just cannot stay still. We must progress to the glory of God. And what happened with the children of Israel, it stopped their walk with God. And apostasy or false teaching will stop the progression of the work of God. I have experienced it. Some of you men here, probably all of you that pastored for any length of time, you have experienced it. You young men that are on your way to the mission field, you will experience it. You will find out that doctrine divides. You'll find it out. I was told when I first started, I was getting ready to go to Kansas, going to leave North Carolina, going to plant churches there. I was encouraged by some people that I knew, and they said, listen, now we're not telling you to compromise. We're not telling you that. But if you will start just a community church in those little towns, preach the same doctrine, just don't have the name Baptist because it's become offensive to a lot of people, then you'll gain a larger crowd. And do you know something? I think there's right. I do. I think that's right. But you know what I said back to him? And this is not bragging. Thank God he gave me the grace for it. I said, I am not going to fly under false colors. That's just exactly, that's what I said to him. By the way, it wasn't long until that crowd was not with me any longer. But I told our people, and I said this to Brother Calvert this morning, there's no doubt that we could build a larger work where we are at easier and quicker. I said a work. I didn't say God's work. But I said we could build a work. But I told my people, I've told them several times, if there's not a reason for us to be here, if this is not right, if we're not to walk the right way, if we're not to follow the Bible, why spend all of God's money and God's people's money? Why am I out here? I've told them, why am I out here 1,200 miles from my grandchildren and my family? Why am I out here if I didn't believe that there needs to be something that people can have an opportunity to come to instead of being involved in all of the ecumenicalness, all of these things that are involved in the other churches? If it was just like the others, why not just let them go there and leave them alone? By the way, Brother Shock, Gary Shock preached for me not long ago, and he preached a message on on this thought. Moreover, the dogs came and licked their sores. And he said, all those dogs can do is lick their sores and make them feel better. They'll still go to hell if they don't get saved. Good thought. Moreover, the dogs came and licked their sores. Some people, that's all they want is just to have the sore licked. They don't want it to get well. All right? Now, listen to this. They lost their pilgrimage. They stopped. But then it says they committed whoredom. They not only lost their pilgrimage, they lost their purity. This is the downward digression of apostasy. They stopped walking for God. They lost their purity. And then the next step is, the Bible says they sacrificed to and worshipped Moab's gods in verse 2. They lost the peculiarity. The peculiarity, we talk about we're a peculiar people. It don't mean weird, folks. I mean, we are weird, some of us, sometimes. But being weird doesn't make you one of God's people. I mean, I've met a lot of weird people. And I might have said he's mighty peculiar, but it's not the same thing. But I want to tell you today that if we're peculiar, we're a blood-bought people. Did you know that the only people upon the face of the earth that worshipped one God, and who was the true and living God, was the people of Israel? And my friends today, they lost their peculiarity all of a sudden and was bowing down to a God made with hands. They had lost their pilgrimage. They lost their purity. And they lost their peculiarity. And they just became like all of the others. That's the road to apostasy. Well, did it affect the future generations? Oh, yes. Numbers 25, verse 18 says that the enemy vexed the Israelites with their wiles. It says they beguiled them. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 says this, talking about those false teachers. He says that they are reprobates, but he said they were able to beguile those that were unstable. Yeah. By the way, losing my voice is not from not preaching. I've got some allergies, and sometimes it just hits me all of a sudden. And it's happened. Is this my one? Thank you. But listen to this. When they have dropped their standards, when they have gone the way of Balaam, when they have went to this point, then they just go another step. When you add all of this up, this is what happens. They've lost their standards of morality. They've lost their personal conduct. They've went the way of Balaam. It is a rejection of God's standards. That's what it is. Number one, they rejected the grace of God. Now they've rejected God's standards. Now that fell into the grace of God because I talked about holy living. But they've rejected God's standards. And friends, I'm not just talking about a standard of dress. I'm not just talking about a standard of speech. But I'm talking about they've dropped God's standards. They've dropped a standard like the right Bible. They've dropped a standard of rap music. They've dropped the standard. How sad that is. Now, let me give you the last one, and I'll be through. As we look at the gainsaying of Korah, and I think this is where we are. In many of our churches today, maybe I just say in religion. Could I just say it like that? I think the grace of God to a great degree has been rejected a long time ago. I don't mean nobody's being saved. And I don't mean everybody's went this way. Thank God there is going to be a remnant. There is not everyone going to fall away. Don't throw up your hands and say it's over. Don't throw up your hands and say we just as well to quit. We're in such a minority. There's going to be some that's going to be right when he comes. And I want to be one of those. The standards in many places are gone. People say in our town, they say to some of our people sometimes, we can't come to that church because your pastor don't believe a woman ought to wear pants. Do you know, all they know is things they've heard. But do you know what? It's what they've seen that's brought conviction to them. Because I have never preached that, nor have I said that. Never. Do I believe it? Yes. Do I teach it? Yes. But I teach my people. If a woman comes in wearing pants, don't you say nothing to her. I mean, I believe the Holy Ghost needs to work on her life. And if God's people will live right, walk right, and dress right, a lot of things won't have to be said.
Right?
But the standards have been left a long time ago to some degree. But listen at number three, the gainsaying of Korah. In looking at the gainsaying of Korah, that word gainsaying means to contradict. It means to dispute. It means to despise. And it is in reference to God's authority. Korah, in the Old Testament, stood up against God's man in chapter 16 of the book of Numbers. And he, and the Bible says, he and his associates took men. And they actually incited them to rebel against Moses. They incited others who were in leadership positions to rebel against authority. In verse 3, the Bible says that they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. In verse 28, Moses said he said that his authority came from God.
Amen.
So when they rebelled against Moses, God's man, they were rebelling against God.
Right.
When they were rebelling against God's man and his authority, they were rebelling against God and his authority.
Amen.
And what we're seeing today in our churches is just exactly what Jude said here. He said they would despise the flesh. They would, in verse 8, they would defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. They do not want to be ruled. They do not want to be under authority. And so, therefore, they rebel. Looking at the characteristics of false teachers, of the apostates, 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us about Jannes and Jambres.
Yeah.
Those magicians of Pharaoh's court, he said they withstood Moses, God's name. 2 Peter chapter 2 says that false teachers despise government. Jude 8 said they despise dominion. Titus 1:10 says that they are unruly, or in other words, they won't be ruled.
Yeah.
Run into people like that today. Does that show what's going on in some of our churches today?
Amen.
Of course it does. So, it all adds up to this. And I'm through with this. The last thing is, and all of it is in a nutshell, It's rejecting God's authority. And I believe there's three authorities that we could look at. There is the Bible. Is there any rejection of the Bible today? Even among people who have been long-time Baptists. Some of them are falling away. Are they not? Some of them says that we should not put such a stress upon this. Do you know that we've got a couple in the church at Hillsboro? The first couple that God connected me with, before I even moved there, but when we went, a couple in the midst of what I would consider an apostate church, members of a church that had left God's authority, got a hold of the truth that God had preserved His Word in the King James Bible. They listened on Noah Hutchins, and I noticed you had him on the radio the other day. Yesterday, I heard him just a moment. They was listening to him and began to do some search. Their church used all the whole spectrum of the perversions, and they got a hold of the truth that the Bible was inspired of God and has been preserved to this good day for English-speaking people in the King James Bible. And they never was satisfied again in that church. They went and talked to their pastor, and he pacified them by saying, "I agree with you, but you know so many others like this, and so that's why I use it." Cop out. And so they liked it when they found out this is what we believed. But they didn't like it too good when I said, "I can't receive your baptism." Because although you are in a Baptist church, your baptism is from another church, and that church did not think there was any reason to give you scriptural baptism. But guess what? They yielded after I kept showing them and loving them and showing them the truth.
Amen.
And last Sunday, I baptized 5 adults.
Amen.
2 of them came to the first service and have been there ever since. He was out of a church that was not a Baptist church, and I said, "I cannot receive your baptism." She was a member of that church and had never been immersed. And this other Baptist church that received the others had received this other couple out of that church. But after 3 years, they submitted to baptism.
Amen.
And then I baptized a young fellow that he's the only one out of his Catholic family that's saved.
Amen.
And then I baptized 2 others that's been saved within this year.
Amen.
I mean, we went from 10 members to 15.
Amen.
Overnight.
Amen.
Amen. Apostasy is the rejection of God's authority. It's the rejection of the authority of the Word of God. I said 3 things. The Word of God is the authority. And then there's the church. The church does have authority, does it not? The church is the authority, is it not? I've had 4 people who refused to come back to our church. All of it having to do with church authority. And all of it having to do, and I told Brother Herbert about this yesterday, all of it having to do with communion. And the fact that I believe that the church is the one who has the authority, and the church must have authority, and when we observe communion, it's for that local church.
Amen.
And so in doing that, I've had 4 people who have refused that. I even had 2 people that were just visiting for one time because of another situation, and they got mad and left because I said something about it. But the church does have authority. And by the way, Brother Herbert said this. How does a church have authority? And my friends, did you know that one of the ways is if that member's not right with God, they're not right to observe communion.
Right.
That's a part of church authority.
Right.
And so They've rejected church authority. And number three, they've rejected the authority of God's man. That's the third authority that I would mention. And these apostates go in this direction. And we must be careful that we don't follow after them, that we are led astray in these things. Young men that are going to the mission field, you're gonna meet others. You're gonna meet others that are having success. You're gonna want to write back. Brother Hall, when I write the newsletters to you and to the others, sometimes I send them every other month, you know. Sometimes I've told my wife, I said, you know, I feel like sometimes what I ought to do is just say, we're still here. And then other times I want to just keep it one page and I can't get it all said. And sometimes you say things and you get in trouble. I got in trouble because I was praising the Lord about taking on some missionaries. And got some questions about it. How is a mission church going to teach without teaching missions? And how's a mission church going to be a New Testament church without being a part of missions? And so that's just the way that we do.
Amen.
But three roads to apostasy. The way of Cain, the way of Balaam, and the way of Korah. And you know where Korah and his family ended up. It's a dangerous thing to rebel against God's authority. It's a dangerous thing. Father, please help us. Take the message and use it to help your people. Lord, to preach this message here, to preach this message to these men that are holding the standard, that are reaching forth, I believe, as Brother Ballou preached last night, for higher hats, greater things, that are wanting greater things for their life and for their people. Lord, to preach this message here, but yet this is the message you gave me, and I pray that it'll work as a warning, and it'll work as a reminder to all of us that as we walk with you, and as we hold the ropes, and as we keep things right, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us not to get off into the roads of apostasy or headed that way, but to stand true to you, to the glory and honor of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, preacher.